In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Today's parable of the Great Supper is always given to us this second Sunday before Christmas, as we prepare to celebrate the reality that God has come among us in Jesus Christ, that God is with us, that God has come to you. And this parable is in part a self-examination for how aware each of us is to the reality that God has come and that he desires union with you. There's quite a bit going on in the parable with the supper, the first round of invitations, the rejections, the second round of invitations, the Lord's desire to fill the hall. And this supper has many layers of meaning, as do all the Lord's parables. It can signify the first coming of Christ. It can signify the second coming of Christ. And it can signify just today. It can mean what we are doing in our daily life as God invites us into his presence. And that's what I'd like to take a look at this morning, is specifically how God invites us into his presence daily and the excuses made by those in the first round of invitations. Now, the invitation is from God saying, come, come, I want to be with you. I want us to be together. And the first person says, you know what? We have this new property. We have this new house. We've got gutters to install. We've got gardens to plant and loads of boxes to unpack. And so we cannot accept. Next person says, I just picked up a new team of oxen. If you want to modernize it, I just got new tools. I just got a new job. I have this big order to fulfill. I have clients or customers or students or buyers waiting for me, so I cannot accept the invitation. The last one says, are you kidding? I'm about to get married. We've got the wedding, we've got a glitch with a caterer, the reception, guests to accommodate, and then we'll have the honeymoon and all those thank you notes to write. Unfortunately, we cannot accept. And I don't think it would be a stretch to apply this parable of God's invitation, of God wanting to be with you, to apply this to the Christmas season. And can you relate to this thought? I'd love for this holiday to be about God with us. But I've got a house to decorate. I've got gifts to buy and wrap. I have family gatherings to go to. I have Christmas programs and concerts to attend. And I got the whole clan coming for Christmas Eve dinner. God is with us. Maybe next year. Can you relate to at least the thought? Interesting thing about these excuses, none of them are bad activities in themselves. Nobody's saying, I'm sorry, I've got to go rob a bank. They're very wholesome stuff. Taking care of property, working hard, investing time and love in a new spouse. It's good stuff that these people are committing to. The problem is that these folks in our parable have made it an either-or situation. They say, I have to work and I have to attend to my spouse. Therefore, and this is where they get in trouble, therefore, I can't accept being with God. On their own, they made it an either-or situation, and they all, with one accord, chose something, whatever it was, something over union with God. But did it have to be this way? Did it have to be this way? Most of you probably remember the Mary and Martha story. Martha's busy in the kitchen hosting a number of guests, while her sister Mary sits at the feet of Jesus, hearing his words. And now you remember, Martha gets a little tired of that arrangement and complains to Jesus about her sister Mary. Maybe Martha would have liked some time to bask in the presence of Christ herself. But Jesus says, not so fast. Mary has chosen the better part, which is being with me. The better part is being with Christ, and no one is going to take that away from her. Lots of lessons can be taken from that little encounter, but one lesson we should not take is that serving others is bad. That's not the lesson. Serving others is good, and I think we can take that one step further. Serving does not have to be detached from being together with Christ. It's not an either-or situation. Martha's biggest lesson was to learn how to work while still remaining at the Lord's feet in her heart, for her to learn that she could do both. Martha needed to learn how to bring an awareness of the presence of God into her work instead of choosing between them. And that's the exact problem we encounter in the parable with all these excuses. And frankly, I think a lot of our own inner voices every single day. You know, we think it's either hosting or the presence of God. We think it's my family or God with us. We think it's work or Christ in me. It's taking care of property or an awareness of the divine within. Let's take the guy with the oxen, the one who has to work. Instead of saying to the angel, I have work to do with my oxen, so I can't be with God. Now, what if he had asked the angel, do you think God would allow me to bring my work into the divine presence? That would be a game changer. And the others, could they not have asked, can we discover the union with the divine as we set up our new property? What's the angel going to say to that? Or, do you think I could bring my new spouse into the presence of God with me? It's not either or. It was not the wholesome tasks that got these folks into trouble. It was the exclusion of God from these tasks that got them into trouble. It was allowing these tasks to get so big in their minds and in their hearts that there was no room for God left. And this is a lesson not only for your nativity season, but really, really for life. It doesn't matter if you're attending church services or taking care of children or visiting family or doing an honest day's work or preparing to host a meal or taking time for your spouse or doing maintenance on your property or whatever it is you have to do. In any and all of these things, there is room for God. And I don't mean room for God like, you know, I can squeeze God in a little chair over in the corner and attend to him once in a while. That's not what I mean at all. I mean, in those tasks, there is room for God to fill it and permeate every bit of it, to be there every moment, that there is room in our daily tasks for God to fill. I mean, in everything, from your most time-consuming commitments down to the tiniest, teensiest of individual tasks that you might do on a daily basis. In everything you do, it is possible to find the fullness of the divine presence and union with God. Amen. Amen.